Grab a chip and a chair. It's time for the Best Bet Poker Show on 1010XL. 92.5 FM, brought to you by the Best Bet Poker Rooms at Jacksonville and Orange Park. Now, the Best Bet Poker Show pals.
Happy Hump Day!
Woo-hoo!
Yeah!
Hump Day!
Yeah.
That's right.
Hump Day!
Jesse coming in hot with his glasses on.
Coming in hot. I literally walked in the door 20 seconds ago.
You're so prepared. Good for you.
I was going to have my headphones on also and maybe a hoodie. Look like a true poker player.
I like it. Yeah. That would have been a good idea.
You just keep them on the whole show.
Sounds like a good point.
Just keep them on the whole show?
100%.
Love it.
You know, it's weird when you have your mask on and your sunglasses. It's a little foggy.
Yeah. I mean,
it's steamy in there.
I wish I could turn my screen around because there's this weird flying bug on my screen with these big glasses on.
Mike Pence.
Literally looks like you. Yes, that's exactly right. All right, welcome to the Best Bet Poker Show. Allie McDeal here with Jesse the Boss.
Yeah.
Dustin running in the stream and Country in the booth, making sure we're all in line here in the studio for the remainder of the hour.
Are there
some things happening in the poker world? So if you have been hiding under a rock or maybe you don't participate in Twitter, because I guess that's pretty much where all of the battle is happening. But there is a massive feud between Daniel Negreanu and Doug Polk. And this is all stemming over a heads-up battle that is scheduled or was supposed to have been scheduled, was scheduled, wasn't scheduled. All sorts of things going on. And it is literally blowing up social media. So we're going to talk about that. I know there's several people that have asked if they could phone in and chat about that. And the answer is absolutely. We'd love to hear your thoughts and your takes on the D-Negs and Doug Polk consistent banter and arguing
on Twitter. What's funny about this is for years, when you're in a poker room, if you play for long enough, there's always going to be an argument between two players about, hey, you played that hand bad. What do you mean? I played it perfect. No, you don't know how to play. No, you don't know how to play. Hey, let's go play heads up.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the, pound your chest and say, come on, let's go play heads up. Get a dealer. Let's go. It 99% of the time never happens. It's, just posturing. Kind of like, hey, let's go outside.
Mm-hmm.
Same thing. It never happens.
Same thing. It's just
so
goofy.
Will this even happen? I don't even know if it'll happen.
Well, we're going to talk about all of that because literally it's such a big deal. It's going to take an entire segment. We can't even cover it as we talk
it's
about
ridiculous.
The news
it's,
and the funny things going on.
You know, they're fighting in the sandbox.
They really, really are. But so we're going to get to that.
Grow up, boys.
We're going to let you guys join in on that conversation. Also, as I understand it, Dustin has finished reading Mike Carroll's book on poker tells. And so we're going to talk a little bit about that. And he made some really cool connections. It's really a great book. And, it's something to consider a lot right now. And I feel like we get to talk more about tells and physical tells, especially because you can't see somebody's face. Is there a way to get around that now that everybody's masked up?
Sure.
So we have that to talk about. But a couple of things that I find
good point with the mask. Nice one.
Some things that I found to be really interesting in the news. First of all, how about this? The gambling world is betting on the election. Now, this is not news. We all know that people like to bet on the election, but how about this? More than $150 million has been wagered on the election in European markets only.
Wow.
European markets only betting on the U.S. election, the presidential election.
Sitcom. In Europe, the American sitcom.
It is the American.
I love
it. Oh, my gosh.
It is the American.
We're literally like leading the realities.
Yeah.
the Big Brother, yes. Yeah.
Big Brother's on tonight at 7.
Oh, my gosh. It's so funny.
What a joke.
70% of the bets have been placed on Joe Biden.
Really?
Yeah.
But how much money?
$150 million, so 70%
of that. No, how much? Is it 70% of the money or 70% of the bets?
I assume 70% of the bets.
Okay. Of the money.
Maybe of the money. I don't know. It says 70% of the bets, so I'm assuming it's, yeah.
Right. No, because it's different, because sometimes, you talk about like a football wager, right?
Sure.
Somebody, the Jags are playing Houston, and
somebody
will say 70% of the bets are on the Jags. However,
90% of the money is
80%
on
of the money is on Houston, which means the big bettors are betting on Houston and the simps are betting on Jack. So it's interesting.
Well, it says 70% of that money has been placed on the Democratic nominee. So 70% of the money.
So 70% of the money then.
70% of the money. How about this? This is going to blow your mind. This came out yesterday. Steve Wynn has announced that Encore Las Vegas.
Steve Wynn?
Well, I guess Steve Wynn did announce, but Wynn Properties.
It's like, wait a minute.
Wynn Properties. Encore is going to be closed during the week.
I just heard
closing
that
on Monday and not reopening until midday, like 3 o'clock on Thursday. The Crazy. Poker Room is going to go from Encore back to Wynn where it originally started.
Oh, it is?
Yep. It is. And they said it's going to be next to the parking garage, so I'm assuming it's right where it was originally.
Right where it used to be, yeah.
Yeah, when they opened. How many casinos do you think will follow suit in that regard? Places like, think about Mandalay Bay and the hotel. Will they do that?
I think so, because...
Or Palazzo and Venetian.
Because here's the deal. You know, MGM owns a huge portion of the Strip, and Caesars owns a huge portion of the Strip. They don't need to have all hotels open if it's still going to be slow like this, so... You know, maybe Venetian follows suit and does Palazzo on the weekends, or who knows? I think there's going to be a lot of hotels that do the same thing that are only open Thursday through Sunday.
I don't know. Yeah, I mean, I assume, everything has to be closed. Hotel, because like everything, the entire property must be shut down, right?
Yeah,
you
shut her down.
Operate part of it. I mean, I guess you could maybe like say, oh, well, operate
you could
the hotel.
Operate the casino and not the hotel, which is what some people do. They operate the casino, but no hotel.
Yeah. Well, it's interesting, and especially with it being Encore and Wynn, two major properties, in a great location on the Strip. Be curious to see how that kind of continues to go down. So as I understand, one of our former radio show frequenters, Johnny Pham, happens to be in Vegas right now. We'll give him a little shout out because I hear it's his birthday. So happy birthday, Johnny.
What's up, fantastic birthday.
Happy birthday to Johnny Pham in Viva Las Vegas. I can't wait to hear from him.
Right, because he's out there now.
He's out there now, and he's gone out, and he's enjoying himself post-pandemic or whatever. And he has family there, so I know he's been out since the beginning of the year, but I think this time he specifically went out to kind of play poker and really sort of enjoy the Vegas experience versus, going to see family and taking care of business. I wonder how he's feeling about his trip. Like, is he enjoying
it? It's going to be an interesting conversation because
how has it changed?
You know, that's a good point. It will be really cool to hear from him and see his interpretation. I mean, I've heard from a lot of people that have been to Vegas and it's been different. You know, the Venetian had some very big turnouts for their tournaments, but it's a different experience everywhere you go. And somebody else I talked to who just came back from Vegas, they said, you go downtown, it's like nothing's happening. There's no masks. Nobody cares about anything.
So bizarre.
Downtown Vegas is a different country.
Is anyone surprised?
No,
not at all. Right?
What would you about, mean? There's still, Vegas, there's still, you mean, or? There's still well, the big, there's still the big fat guy in the yellow. What would you call that?
The bumblebee outfit.
The yellow G-string onesie.
Oh,
playing the guitar.
You gotta make a living,
And the guy that looks like Gene Simmons with the prosthetic tongue.
Yeah.
So they're still there. No mask.
Anybody seen Elvis? Is what I want to know.
And he's always there.
He's always there.
Elvis lives.
I love it. All right, well, we got lots of fun things to talk about. Obviously, this huge feud that's happening between Daniel Negreanu and Doug Polk. We're going to dive into that. Plus, we're going to talk about Mike Carroll's Book of Tells, and not really just his book, but kind of the evolution of where we stand today in poker, thinking about tells. And is that book still relevant? Is it helpful? How does it change things? And we're going to talk a little bit about some false tells. And how that has also evolved and changed. That nice. More. Stay with us. We'll be right back with more of the Best Bet Poker Show on 1010 XL and 92.5 FM.
It's the Best Bet Poker Show on 1010 XL and 92.5 FM.
Welcome back to the Best Bet Poker Show. Allie McDill here with Jesse the Boss, Dustin running the stream, and Country in the booth. And guess what? Guess what? It's not just Johnny's birthday today. It's also Country's birthday.
That's right. So happy birthday, buddy.
Happy birthday.
Appreciate it. Thanks.
I said I was going to sing if you didn't play a song. So if you don't play a song for yourself when we come back from the next break, everybody better turn your stereos down because it's happening.
Oh, no.
Please play a song. Please.
Oh, my gosh. Anyway, I will save you the singing for right now. So as we were talking about, there's this huge battle happening, this Twitter feud battle happening between Daniel Negreanu and Doug Polk. This has been happening now for
I think battle is too strong of a word to use for these guys. Battle.
I don't even know. Like, they think it's a battle.
It's like a crying match or something.
It really is like a 12-year-old. Yeah.
7-year-old.
Like, it's a 12-year-old girl fighting match about a heads-up battle that the two of them are supposed to play. So 641-1010 is the phone number here. 641-1010. Many people have reached out to me and said they want to say their piece about this. It's quite silly, but there are a lot of things to consider, okay? So, Boss Man, do you remember when this first started?
You know, I'll be totally honest with you. I don't even remember why this started. It was something... I don't even remember why it started.
Like, I think it started because of the retirement thing, right? Like,
no, I don't think so. I think there was something else. Daniel did something, or Doug did something, or somebody said something to somebody. And,
all right, does anybody remember this?
And
fight
it's like I said, it's
so,
like, I'll play you heads up. Oh, you will?
The
yeah.
Fight
I'll
is
play you heads up.
So.
And now it's
ridiculous.
I'll play you heads up, but you can't use the heads up chart. I'll play you, but we got to do it for the fans because everybody's going to want to watch. So we got to show whole cards. And Daniel says, I don't want to show whole cards. Because you have a big advantage. Like, come on, man.
Somebody said it's the video that Doug
Suck
made.
It up.
Yeah. And
I think it started with the More Rake is Better campaign. When
oh,
Doug put
you know
But
what?
That was a long time ago.
Yeah, but I don't think
no,
the
this
feud
has been around
played.
For a
you
long time.
You think the
time.
Feud started with that. But yeah. When did this heads up thing start? When did they say, okay, let's dispute this on the felt?
Right. The
like
heads up thing
so-called
was like
men.
A couple, it's been a couple months, though. I feel like this has been going on forever. But they have now started really lashing out at each other. And they're, you know, we're looking at things like, you know, their big debate is whether or not they should be able to use, Doug Polk wants to use heads up charts, right? And Negreanu.
Well, Danny doesn't want him to, and Daniel doesn't want to show his cards.
That's ridiculous. Andy doesn't want to show his cards. So right now, the deal is they're trying to play heads up for some amount of money, which I still think hasn't even been determined. At one point it was decided, and now I think it's up in the air again.
I don't think it's been determined, right? Are they even playing for anything?
They are. Like, they were supposed to originally play, I think the first original thing was supposed to be like $1 million, and then it changed, and I don't know if they've actually fully decided exactly what it's going to be. But here's my question. Is it really that big of an edge to have, whether it's Negreanu or Polk, playing heads up against each other, whether or not either one of them are using
a chart?
Heads up charts.
No.
I don't think so either.
That's
not
the thing,
at
is
all.
Like, how
Zero.
Is this an issue?
Here, if I thought you were going to use a heads up chart against me, I would say fine, use the chart, but let me see it first.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, now we're even. That's it.
Well,
we're even. I know what you're looking at.
It's not like Negreanu doesn't know what he's looking at.
Negreanu,
and it's just not like
he
Polk
said that.
Doesn't know what he's like.
Negreanu even said that. He said, I have access to the same charts as you. Like, okay, then.
So what's the problem?
What's the problem?
Yeah. Why are we fighting over it? So Isaac Haxton, who is one of the most brilliant poker minds probably ever
he's
in
a very
the history
smart guy.
Of poker, comes out and makes a statement, which I thought was really great. And he said, he said, you know, there are four nodes on a heads up, no limit
chart.
So you could draw it on a napkin and memorize it in 15 minutes. And I thought that's a very smart way of putting it. And I think that people look at it and they go, well, if you're using charts here, then you have an unfair advantage. But both of them have access to them. To charts. Both of them are brilliant poker minds.
And here's the thing. If I'm playing Dustin heads up, and I know he's using a heads up chart, does that give him the advantage? Or does that give me an advantage? Because now I know he's using a chart that's going to tell him what to do in certain situations. So I know I can vary those situations so they don't coincide with the chart.
which is what we do every day as poker players.
Every single day.
That's what playing poker is all about.
We're problem solvers. Mm-hmm.
Right? So okay. I don't understand it. I will play either one of these guys heads up. I don't have their bankroll, but I
if anybody wants to bankroll the boss to play heads up against Negreanu or Doug Polk, you can go ahead and give us a call right now, 641-1010.
Set it up.
Put the boss man in a game. We'll set it up.
I will say this. I am a good heads up player. And I don't use charts. But my feeling about this heads up challenge, they should be playing it like, in my feeling, they should be playing it heads up on the felt, not online.
So that's going to bring me to my next question. So here's
feeling.
The thing. So there was supposed to be, originally it was all going to be done online. Because again, they had been talking about this for so long. This was pre-poker rooms even opening, I think, when this conversation first started. I don't even think the poker rooms were open in Vegas. So this was effectively supposed to be an online challenge anyway. Which sparks part of that debate, right? Like this is where it was going to be. And they talked about doing it in the Poker Go studio. And then there was conversation about showing people's whole cards, right? And then there's conversation about this. Now they've talked about making it so part of it is played online and part of it is played live.
Yeah, Jesus. Just play it online. Suck it up. Be a man. Get head-to-head on the felt with a dealer and play poker. That's what you're supposed to do. Online is not the way to settle this.
Okay, but so that's going to be my next question. Those are strong words when we're talking about the two types of players we're talking about, because one is specifically an online player and one is specifically a live player. So when you take that, and I think that's part of where all of this stuff is coming from, Negreanu is like, sit down and play real poker. And Doug Polk's like, we were scheduled to play on, like, you know what I mean? And they both kind of have this thing. So
maybe they can have a happy
medium.
Somebody
has an advantage.
Right. If they have a happy medium, they play in real life on the felt. Doug doesn't get to use a computer and a chart to tell him what to do, but Daniel has to show his whole cards the same as Doug so that the fans have a good experience. We will enjoy watching this heads-up match, just like the Phil and Esfandiari heads-up thing. But play for real, man. Put some money up. Donate it to charity. Do what you want, but play for real. Make it,
I'm gonna throw this in there because I'm Team Polk, and Doug Polk does have $10 million in live caches.
He's no slouch.
Neither one of them are slouches. They're both exceptional players.
Yeah, sure.
I mean, Negreanu has a bigger name for himself, but he's just better at marketing himself because he's a narcissistic.
What's Daniel's live cash? Like $35 million?
So like
I think a couple of years ago he was like second or third, right?
I mean,
like
he was first. He was first.
Well, he's like so far down the chart now, I think.
No, he's not. He's not. He's up there.
Is
really
he even
high.
In the top 10?
Yes.
Is he? 42 okay. million in live earnings.
42 million. So what is he third?
It says all-time money list.
He's got to be third or second.
I don't think he's that high up anymore.
He's third. All-time money list, he's third. Yep.
Okay. Who's first and second?
Bryn Kenny,
uh-huh. And I don't know who the other one is.
Okay.
Theodore, maybe. Holtz. He's got to be in the top five. And he did it in like 2 years.
Right.
Joke.
But that's the thing. That's why, I don't remember who we were talking to. We had an interview. We were interviewing somebody and having conversations
about
who's.
Bonomo's second.
Bonomo, that's right.
Of course. Justin Bonomo. Talking about who is first on the all-time money list and how quickly you get bumped down from that position because.
Well, because the high rollers
change everything when you start playing those high roller events. That's
how Bryn Kenny got up there so fast.
Exactly
he won a lot of money in very high dollar buy-in tournaments. I mean, I'm not saying he's not a good player. He probably is a great player.
Right. Where is Esfandiari?
Bonomo did it in 3 years, basically.
Yeah. Oddly, Esfandiari, who reached 15th, the top for a second when he won that $18 million in the one draft, where is he now?
15th.
Hey, here's a testament. Where's Eric Seidel?
I was just about to bring that up. He's fourth.
He's fourth.
He's the guy nobody ever hears about. You never hear him winning tournament. I mean, you do.
37
but like,
million.
It's like,
37 million, and he made most of that over the course of decades.
Right.
So
he's
been beating people forever.
Yeah.
Right.
He's a great player.
I know. It's amazing. So here's my next question about these boys. They're going to hash out this heads-up battle. Is this now – somebody did – they – posted a tweet. I don't remember who it was, but it was hysterically funny. And it said something like, if I don't remember who it was in favor of, but If Doug Polk beats Daniel Negreanu, will he just turn out relinquish power gracefully? Step back, swing.
Step like out the house.
I was like, I was cracking up. I was like, that's hysterically funny. But yeah, so does this determine who is the greatest heads-up player? I don't know that I think those two are the best heads-up players.
Well, Polk is one of the best. And
he's one of the best. But what about Negreanu?
Negreanu's...
I just never thought of him as a heads-up player.
Admittedly, he's not one of the greatest heads-up players.
Yeah, I don't think he is.
The people who think they're the best heads-up players would be Polk and Olivier Bousquet. And...
I mean, you don't get $42 million in tournament winnings without being a closer and being able to crush it heads up. Like, Negreanu's definitely a great heads up player.
Well, he has to be. Because you're right. You have to be able to close it.
You have to be a closer.
Sure.
You know, otherwise, he would have. That's a good point. He didn't get $42 million in second place.
All right. Well, let me ask you this question.
That's a very good point.
All right. That point well taken. Let me ask you this question. You play the World Series of Poker. You make it down to the final two players left of the main event. Okay,
yeah.
And you are playing for all the money, the biggest, most prestigious title. Who do you hire to coach you playing heads up at that point? You now have like, you don't have a lot of time to decide and a lot of time to study. We're talking hours, right? So who do you pick? Because those are the people that I would suggest. And now you can make an argument that coaching is different than playing. And that is 100% accurate in every sport across the board.
Sure.
Some people are better at coaching than they are at actually executing. And that could be the case, but
well, if you're talking about just Polk and Daniel,
in my mind, I think that if you were to go back in the last 3 years of players who have made it down to the final two, how many of those people, how many of those six players out of the last 3 years have secured Polk or Negreanu as their heads up coach at the final table of the most prestigious event in the world?
No, I don't think any of them have.
Right. So my question is like, who's that person? Isn't that the guy that should be playing somebody heads up that should, like, if somebody was going to complain, that's the guy I want to see complaining on Twitter.
Who's the site, a little plug for, remember when Kui Nguyen, is that his name?
Kui Nguyen,
won the World Series of Poker when they were at the final table. It's the guy works with Mike Carroll. Mike Carroll. What's this? We're gonna have to figure out what this website is. It's poker coaching something.
Pokercoaching.com. I mean, that's a website. I don't know if that's it, but
it's a coaching site.
We'll find it.
They sent him a message and says, "Our algorithms show you winning the main event." So what he did, very intelligently, was, how did they do that?
Just reverse engineered?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and he says, okay, so you think I'm going to win. How is it that I'm going to win?
I never heard this story.
And they coached him, and he won.
No way.
Yeah.
Well, that was also the main event when the other guy just flopped. The Yayo guy, he just totally flopped, right? He was like limp folding on the button, stuff like that. Like
I honestly don't remember the rest of that match.
It was an awful heads up.
It's like super passive? Is that what was happening?
Yeah, the guy. I mean, the guy flopped. In the, you know, at the
he just like folded his way into second place.
GT has it. It's a advanced poker. Advanced poker coaching or something like that.
Raccoon Kui, yeah.
Raccoon Kui.
Yeah.
Somebody, D Dozen mentions in
here. Thanks,
GT. Mentions in here that, you know, it feels like potentially it's a publicity stunt between the two, right? Because we go from, you think about the way poker is sort of broken down since the pandemic and trying to rebuild and re-engage and trying to, whether it's a drive for online poker or whether it's a drive for live poker, right? I feel like that's a great point. Both of them are kind of angling for one or the other, right? Polk is like all about pushing online poker and Negreanu is all about pushing live poker. So if you get those two big voices that are really like butting heads, I mean, that's a great point. That's definitely something that,
somebody else says something on Twitch. Tricky Hunter says they should do a team show like UFC.
I think they did this.
And they could both be a team coach.
This was a thing. This happened in, they tried this and it didn't work. Now, to be fair, I loved the concept and the idea.
They did, where people would get up and go talk to their coaches something?
No, remember...
like the Shark Tank thing or...
No, remember the big stage, the glass stage that was all
Alex...
Everybody had teams, and the teams would play each other.
Yeah.
They all had like a coach. Cube, what was it?
The cube or something.
Yeah,
like.
I don't remember what it was called, but they tried and it was a really awesome idea.
It was a great idea.
But for whatever reason, it didn't work. But the first 2 years that they did the American Poker Awards, this is when Alex Dreyfus owned the American Poker Awards and some other
and GPI
things.
GPI.
And he tried to do that. I'm going to have to look it up now because I can't remember what it was called. But they tried that whole concept where they had teams.
Right.
And they would draft teams. Like, remember, we were there for the draft one year.
Yeah.
And they would sit up on the stage and then they would pull and they'd be like, I'm going to draft this player, that player. And then they would play in those cubes against
each
other.
But then they played heads up matches against each other.
They had mascots and stuff, and they had logos and like jerseys and stuff.
Yeah, they had all sorts of stuff.
I want a mascot.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I'm going to start playing poker more, and I'm going to get a mascot.
You need to be the ibis, the last to take shelter in the hurricane and the first to emerge.
I like the ibis. That's we learned that. That's the Miami, the U, right? The Kings.
Yeah, the U Miami. We were like, oh, we learned something about the ibis.
Yeah.
All right, I'll be the crushed beer can.
I like it. All right, we need to take a quick break. It's always fun to talk about these battles online, and I'm sure we'll continue to circle back around to them. But we're also going to dive into Mike Caro's Book of Tells, because Dustin just finished reading it, so we need to get his outtake on that. It's a wonderful book. Is the book obsolete, though, right? Like, is it a book you should be reading? I feel like a lot of people think, it's not that big of a deal. So we're going to hear from you, 641-1010. If you want to text in, you can text us online. You can give us a buzz, and we will take your calls as soon as we come back. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
You're listening to the Best Bet Poker Show on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
Welcome back to the Best Bet Poker Show. Allie McDeal here with Jesse the Boss. Dustin running the stream and Birthday Boy Country over there in the booth keeping us in line. All right, so as we were going off to break, we were trying to figure out what the team's poker playing group was called, and it was Global Poker League. So they had two seasons. The first season looked like it came out in the 2015 or 2016. They didn't have enough support, so they didn't show up at the TwitchCon in 2016, which is kind of interesting because I think Country probably knew a lot about TwitchCon in 2016.
Probably.
So they moved it to Wembley Stadium. That's where they held the league. But after two short seasons, they didn't get enough traction, and it kind of died in the mud there. But somebody had brought up, you know, that would be a really cool, fun thing to do. And I thought it was great.
It was fun. But, you know, even for this heads up match, it'd be cool if they had a big corner. So you had, you know, Doug Polk and maybe they don't. I mean, they're probably both too pompous and arrogant to feel like they need a corner.
Mm-hmm.
But it would be cool if they had them, even if it was just moral support. You know, just each guy has a corner. And I'll tell you what. I have this great location where they could play this heads-up match.
Tell me.
Mind blown. Right here in Jacksonville on Best Bet Live.
I think that would be fun. I don't know if they're going to want to leave Vegas, especially if...
We would break YouTube.
We would definitely break YouTube.
They'd have to close it down.
So, Polk and Nirana, you want to come, you can play for free. No rake is better.
Well, somebody said that part of Negreanu's issue is the COVID, right? Like, he doesn't want to go out and play due to COVID reasons. But I feel like if they're in the GoPro studio, now, there's probably not many people listening to the show that have ever been in that studio. But let me tell you, it's gigantic. It's beautiful. And if they were the only
in the
two
Poker Roll
in
studio,
there,
hey, we have plenty of space. They can hang out on our Best Bet Live.
The two of them,
all by themselves.
And the dealer, there's definitely they could space out adequately enough. Where I feel like Daniel should feel mostly safe, but you know, maybe not.
If they want, to play a Best Bet Live, we'll put a bubble over each person.
We could just put fish.
I'll figure it out.
You guys,
I promise
can we put
you,
fish,
I can figure it
fish
out.
Fish bowls over their head.
Yeah, we'll put fish bowls over their head. Something.
What a weird like, time to be alive.
One of them can wear like a shark headband, and the other one can wear like a, you know, a guppy or something.
Yeah,
it'll just be great.
We'll even give them things that you can like they do online now, little. Like stuffed animals of stuff that you can throw at each other.
Yeah.
Like a donkey or a little mini shark.
I think it's weird when that happens. I'm not going to lie to you. I feel like that's the strangest thing ever, but it is a lot of fun.
I think it's hilarious. You beat somebody in a pot online and they throw a tomato at you.
They throw a donkey at you. Here you go. Take this donkey.
Or some poop.
Right.
Oh.
nobody likes that. All right. So Dustin, tell us about your experience in reading Mike Caro's Book of Poker Tells. Now, first of all, this book is from 70s, 80s.
70s,
like,
yeah.
It's early, long time ago. 70s.
I was going to say like 85.
No, I think it's, look at the
publishing
date. We happen
date
to have there. It here. The original publishing date should be in there.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure it's 70s. Or is it 80s?
Could be 80s.
1984.
Oh, geez. 84.
That's before I was even born. Geez.
What?
So a little backstory about me. I came up in the late 2000s Full Tilt era, and I only ever played sit and goes in tournaments. That was the only thing I played. And so after Black Friday, I started playing live, and I was terrible. I'd never played cash games, and I got my teeth kicked in constantly.
Which is a common situation for everybody coming out of their basement playing online poker and going into the felt.
100%. So I would play like home games and stuff, but they weren't anything serious. And so first time going into poker rooms, I just get my teeth kicked in left and right. So I started buying poker books, and one of the first ones I ever bought was, obviously, Mike Caro's Book of Poker Tells.
Mm-hmm.
And I circled back around to it just the other day when I texted you about it, Allie. And I felt like even though it's really dated, it had to have some nuggets of information. And the deeper I got into the book, I said, wow. I was like, wow. So much of this stuff is still really relevant, even though he put it in print and distributed it to the masses and said, look what you guys are doing wrong. And people still didn't, you know, take notice of it. And so I circled back around. I started reading it. I asked Allie, I said, have you read this book? And she was like, what a great book. Let's bring it up on the show.
So long ago.
Yeah.
But you know what, Dustin? Here's something that's interesting. Think about this and what you just said. Like, somebody wrote this, right? They wrote it down. They gave everybody the answers effectively, especially like think in the 80s. Like, this
gave
is
them the answer
only,
key.
This is the only place you can get the information. There's no internet. I mean, there is, but there's like not internet available to people, right? There's no mass internet.
And there's like 50,000 poker players worldwide. No, like, poker's so much smaller. There's, you know, there's.
Well, I think there was, but it was just military.
No internet. Well, right? Yeah, it doesn't
military
count.
Stuff. That's what I'm saying. There was availability through computer stuff, but not available to the masses.
Sure.
So when you think, but also think about this, right? I'm going to give you a book that's substantially older that is a huge piece of literature. And when I ask you, how many people do you think haven't read that book? And it's a mainstream book. Take Romeo and Juliet. How many people do you think actually have never read that are of your age or older? And that book's been around like that.
A lot.
80%.
A bazillion, right?
Yeah.
So if you think about that, right? And you probably were required to read it in school and had to take a test and people still didn't read it, right? Like, whatever. This is, I think, one of those books where there are a few people that said, hey, this is a golden nugget. And if I read this, it is going to drastically change my game when I play poker for the good.
Well, you know, when Mike Caro started writing these books and Doyle Brunson started writing Super System and then Skolansky started writing poker books, everybody told, I remember Doyle has actually a story about this where people came up to him and said, what are you doing?
Mm-hmm.
Why are you writing this book? Why are you training people? And he just said, you know, I love the game. I want more people to be involved, and I want them to get better. It's okay. There are enough fish in the sea that I can train people, and the game will evolve.
He had the zoomed out vision. Yeah. He could see
it's
the
sustainable.
Bigger picture.
Right. Sure. He had the bigger picture, and that's exactly what he said. But I will say another thing about the Book of Tells. It's one of the greatest poker books ever written. Very relevant today. And the funny thing about it is most of the tells, they weren't even playing Hold'em.
Right.
They were playing low ball and five card draw and stuff like that, but it doesn't matter.
A lot of stud references.
It doesn't matter. A tell is a tell, right? So it's a great book. It's one of the best poker books I've ever read.
So
most beneficial.
So we talk about tells, right? And most people, like when we look at tells, everybody knows there's like standard basic tells, right? Like you got the pulse smashing, the heart beating, you know, your jacket moving back and forth.
Or the stoic guy, the statue.
The guy that never moves, the look away,
the grab the chips.
Right, there's so many different things. And
the cigarette tells, which don't apply so much anymore.
They don't apply because it's non-smoking. But, you know, there's a lot of things that people do. And most of the stuff that is talked about in that specific book is about everybody's overall body movements, right? Like as a whole, your whole person, or facial tells, or obviously like betting tells and things like that. But as far as personal, like your physical tells.
Right. They're all basically physical tells.
What's interesting now is everybody's wearing a mask. Right. So if you're wearing a mask, so much of your face is covered. So we really like everybody now just has a natural poker face. I could be smiling under here, and depending on the amount of Botox I have in my face,
you might not even notice.
Right. So the point is like, right, it's you're giving yourself a natural barrier to block things. So when we talk about it being relevant today, like, Dustin, what did you read about or see that you felt like, yeah, like,
still relevant now, even with the mask.
Oh, man. There were so many great ones. There were so many great ones in there. The biggest takeaway that I remember reading it a long time ago and I kind of forgot, and then I read it again. The biggest takeaway was kind of the two categories of tells that people do subconsciously when they don't know you're watching and tells that people do when they know you're watching. Mm-hmm. And just the fact that he was able to
distinguish the
difference. Yeah, just him writing like basically this case study on both sides of the coin, like when people know you're watching and when they're not, that was the most interesting part to me. And then, you know, we just dive into each individual tells. He spends a lot of time talking about people checking their hole cards and the way they do it and, you know, the mannerisms behind that. He talks about a lot about when people know you're watching and the things they do.
False tells.
People that tell, he calls it tells by actors.
Yes.
Yeah, tells by actors.
And that's when people, somebody does something to make you think something of what it actually means. And the old maxim is weak is strong, strong is weak.
Sure.
But he just goes so much deeper into it, and he it's still such a great book. So, I was really surprised.
I always think it's interesting when somebody gives off a false tell and it backfires. I don't know if you guys have a story of that, but I totally have a story of that happening. Sure. So 641-1010. You can text us at that number or you can call into the show. But do you have a tell, or not a tell, but have you ever tried to give a false tell or give off an actor tell and it totally backfired? And
probably.
What? I mean, can you think of a time that that's happened?
I don't know.
It's definitely happened to me.
I'm sure it's happened, but.
It's happened to me where I've been like, okay, what I've noticed is I'll be in a game and I'm like, okay, this person likes to make hero calls when the person is stoic. Like they're real good at picking people off, but it looks like when they're, you know, super like intense and they're not moving and they're statue man.
Okay.
He's like, this is like, he liked to make the calls there. And I don't know if it was because the person was like, I want to make a big call and like, you know, and be a hero. Right. Cause sometimes that's what it's about.
Yeah,
they want to be the hero. Right. So I was like, I noticed this and I go, all right. I was like, next time I'm in a spot, if I'm in a place where I feel like it's a good spot to pull a bluff, I'll run a bluff here. And I'm going to make it look like I'm just super uninterested in the pot, like whatever. And the guy's just going to let it go. And that was a bad plan. So
snap call.
So that he didn't snap call, which is actually interesting. He looked for a while, but I just looked sort of like, you know, I'm not overdoing it, but I'm just kind of like, you know, rocking in my chair a little bit and just whatever. And he thought for a while and he thought for a while and he looked and he said, I don't believe you. And I was like, you
snapped
leave?
Her
I was
off. Like, I don't believe you. Damn.
I was like, as it turns out, I don't believe me either.
I didn't even convince myself.
That like, doesn't always work. So the funny thing about Mike Carroll's Book of Tells is he puts, I don't know how he comes up with these, but he puts percentages in there at how accurate the tell is and how much value it is.
Right. Yeah. Based on the player type. Like,
sure.
he breaks it down into like this tell in a weak player is 90% accurate. This tell, the same tell in a medium strength player is 80% accurate. Mm-hmm. And then this tell in a strong player is 60% accurate. And my takeaway from that was sometimes these stronger players can give away false tells.
Yeah.
Right.
Was what I think he was implying in those spots.
Yeah.
Which I didn't understand when I read it the first time.
Have you ever done that? Have you ever like given off a false tell and it's 100%. Backfired?
Oh, 100%. I do the statue guy a lot when I get a value call, because the statue guy is known for like if you're bluffing, they don't want to look at you, they don't want to do anything. So I've done the statue guy. I'm pretty talkative and pretty fun at the table. So if I do the statue guy, I want them to think I'm bluffing and it's backfired.
It's backfired a million
It's worked
times,
plenty
right?
of times.
Yeah.
I'm probably slightly
probably
positive
plus.
Lifetime.
Yeah, probably plus.
You know, probably plus lifetime. Yeah. But
nothing's going to work 100% of the time.
Yeah, it's definitely backfired a few times.
I always think it's funny when that happens. It's backfired too on the other side, where I've like called somebody because I think that they're giving off like one particular type of a vibe.
The guy's totally bluffing.
And I get it wrong.
Sure.
Oops. You know, one of the things that's important to know too about when we talk about tells is, and Dustin brought up this point, was it's difficult to make, I mean, it's almost impossible to make a decision based on one specific attribute, like 100%. One tell, right? Like, oh, his pulse is like beating out of his neck. That means he's bluffing, right? Like, because it could mean he's bluffing, or it could mean he literally has the knots.
He's
it could be
the
one
stones.
End or the other, right? It's probably nothing in between, but it is one end or the other. And to know which one of those, right, you're going to be right 50% of the time, I guess. So what are some other things to look at? And I think everything else is just, it's just another
piece. It's good
to
combine tells. Yeah.
Right, it's just another part of the equation. And so if you're never, ever considering the way that the person is posturing, the way they're sitting, what they're doing, how they're eating, where they're looking, if you're not looking at any of that at all as part of your equation when you're deciding what route you're going to take when you play your hand, then I think you're making a big mistake.
It means you need to pay more attention at the poker table, put down your cell phone.
Yeah, I agree with that for sure.
That's one of the biggest tells that I wish that he could make a rewrite for 2020 and throw
right
in cell
with
phones.
The cell phone.
You know, like when you're playing the grinder kid and he looks at his hand and he instantly picks up his phone, like, you know, he doesn't have a hand. Like, that's one of the most common
easiest
tells
there is.
All the time. When regs, they get dealt their hand and they look at their cards and then they just pick up their phone. They're just done with the hand, you know, but like
the same
guy gets his cards and then he looks at you for a little bit and he doesn't pick up his phone. Like, that's one of the biggest tells that I found in the past 3 years.
And now when you say that, your cell phone tells, and you're talking about which type of player, like amateur player.
So like, you're never going to see it with super tough in boss regs, but you know, you'll see it with your recreational players all the way, probably up to your medium kind of grinders, you know?
Yeah. Cause people, and the same thing, like people get excited to jump out of their seat.
Yeah.
Like,
I see it all the time. Yeah. It's one of the biggest tells ever is when the guy gets dealt his cards. Just picks up his phone. He's just done with the hand.
All right. Well, that's what we got for you guys for tells. We're going to take a quick break, but don't forget, we got that 1010XL main event seat that we're going to give away when we come back. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
You're listening to the Best Bet Poker Show on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
Welcome back to the Best Bet Poker Show. Allie McDeal here with Jesse the Boss, Dustin and Country. Listen, we got lots of things happening in the card room, but before we talk about that, I want to make sure we do this giveaway. So 641-1010 is the phone number, 641-1010. We have a $110 seat to be given away for the 1010XL main event tournament that is happening on the 28th of this month. It is a Wednesday evening. The tournament will start at 6 o'clock p.m. It'll be in Jacksonville. We will take the third caller right now, 641-1010. $110 value. There's 5 bounties. You knock any of those bounties out, you get $110 back on the spot. It's going to be a great tournament.
Lots of fun.
I expect the field to be somewhere between 275 and 322 players. That's my line. That's my margin.
Perfect line. I'll take the middle, 300.
Hopefully we see all of you guys there. Don't forget, next weekend, mark it down, next Saturday is the first large tournament happening since the reopening of the pandemic. $1,500 buy-in, no limit hold'em tournament. It is a single-day event. It is next Saturday. It starts at 12 o'clock in Jacksonville. Make sure you're there. There are $300 satellites to get into that event. They're every Tuesday night at 7 o'clock p.m. There is also a satellite next Friday. You can get all that information at bestbetjacks.com. That will give you all your information for tournament stuff.
We will bring the final table back the following day.
Oh, that's nice. That'll be great. And then, of course, they do also have the fun wheel, which is $2,000. We talked about this the other day, or 2 weeks ago, I think, when Jimmy was on the show.
Right.
Whether or not you're supposed to spin or take the $800. So it's a high hand promotion. You win $800, or you can take your chance and spin the wheel and win up to $2,000. According to Jimmy, the statistics teacher, he tells us that you should definitely spin.
Go with the teacher.
Go with it.
Spin the wheel, people.
You
want to
know where that
spin
is? Jacksonville and Orange Park this weekend on Saturday, noon to 6 p.m. It is all day long. And then in front of that and on the back end, it's $500 high hands every 30 minutes. Remember, you can be in Jacksonville or Orange Park to potentially pick up that $2,000 high hand. Listen, guys, it's been a super fun show. Happy birthday again to country. I hope you have the best day ever. That's going to do it for us tonight, but don't go anywhere. End of the Night with Rick Belews coming up next. For Jesse the Boss, Dustin, and country, I'm Allie McDeal saying, until next time, we hope to see you at the final table.